Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that
tear. But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised he would never leave
me. My story.
My story proves that God can do me.
Deliverance
is.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it.
The devil is a liar today. He's going forward.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
All good. It's all good.
The pains of trials I've had to bear.
You don't know.
You don't know my story. You don't know the day he came.
I was at my lowest. At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine. The strongholds and the walls that tear.
But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised. He would never leave
me. My story.
My story proves that God can do me.
Deliverance
is.
Somebody needs to know my story.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Bishop dropped off the phone. Hallelujah. I pray that you all were able to hear me. Amen. Did you hear me, Sister Donna? Amen, amen. I'm waiting on Bishop to come back on the line. Anyway, we just thank God for Bishop. He is a friend of ours. Amen. He is a pastor. He is a bishop. He is a husband of one wife. Amen. And he is a father of two adult children. Amen. His hometown is Chicago, Illinois. Amen. And currently he resides in the city of Durham, North Carolina. Amen. So we're just so excited to have Bishop with us on this evening. As I said earlier, he's not a stranger. Amen. We haven't heard from him in a while, but nevertheless, we always have him in our heart, and he knows he's one that is loved by us. Amen. So we just thank God for him. We're going to call on him, and he can open up, and however the Lord lead him on today, we certainly are ready to eat from the word of God. God bless you, Bishop. We love you.
Love you, too. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. Everything I was on, and everything went blank, and I couldn't hear anything. And thank the Lord. Everything is ready now.
Everything is ready now.
I appreciate you, and I thank God for this grand opportunity. I'm always excited. And I've been failing myself because I should be on here more often and should be communicating with you. So please forgive me. Don't hold it against my heart. We just thank God for what he is doing. We're excited about this grand opportunity to be able to communicate and minister with you. And we're looking forward to the celebration of the blessing that's coming, honoring you and placing you as pastor and other things that's going on. And it's going to be an awesome year for you. Awesome year.
Yes, Lord.
And we just thank the Lord for blessing us. And I missed the prayer. Did you all already have prayer, or did we?
No, we said we're going to let you open up with the word of prayer. We didn't.
All right. Let me pray. Father, we're here. We're listening. We're open, and we're looking to you. Bless us, inspire us, motivate us from within. Show yourself strong in our lives, and give us those nuggets that can take us and help us to go to the next dimension, not level, but dimension. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We do thank the Lord again for blessing us to be on. And last time we were on, you were in California.
That's right.
Come to find out, you're 9 months out. I think it's 9 months that you've been.
Yes.
And that's something in New Orleans. So we thank the Lord.
In New Orleans.
We're praying for you constantly. And Shirley and I. And probably my children, we will be coming soon to visit you and to celebrate with you. We're praying and asking God. Hopefully we'll be able to make the special service, but we're definitely going to come, and we're going to enhance the fellowship that we've already had. Shirley asked me the other day, she said, have you ever met her? I said, never met her.
I mean,
physically. I said, but we're connected in our hearts, you know, so it won't be a strange. We don't have to have an introduction. We just move right into the love fellowship. So I just do thank the Lord for you.
Amen.
And we're touching and agreeing on the things in your life, your personal life. We're praying for your sister. And as far as that circumstance is concerned, we believe in the Lord. And we look forward to getting some awesome news that God has undertaken. He has blessed. And we don't want to hear that she's feeling good. We want to hear release. We ain't talking about feeling good and somebody's talking. We want a home.
Yes.
I want to meet. I want to meet your sister and love on her and hug her and all that good stuff. So we praise
thank
God.
You, Jesus.
Praise God. Now today, as we said, we know your theme is dealing with. Give me the general theme again that you were dealing with.
Are you free? Indeed.
Okay. We're talking about freedom, and it's appropriate how God has led us to deal today, because what I'm going to talk about today is dealing with freedom, personal freedom. You cannot be free until you master what we're talking about here. Our general theme for our family and our church this year is showing yourself friendly.
Wow.
One of the things that people have never learned, have never taught us how to be a friend. They never taught us what it means to be a friend. And we have to look at ourselves, really, because, you know, normally we meet friends. We meet people that have common interests, maybe a common color, common religious background. You know, they shout like we shout, or they grew up in our neighborhood, went to school with us, or they're nice to us. But the Bible talks about a friendship, and Solomon talks about it. And we're going to talk about Solomon, too, because when I look at what Solomon had to say about friends and brothers, Solomon has a jaded perspective. And I'll explain it. You know, even though we take Solomon as being the wisest man, even in all your wisdom, your perspective is based upon the events that happen in your life, even though you could be smart and even saved. You know, some of the savest people are some of the godliest people. They're not open. They're not free to meet new people. And they're not free to others. And they're definitely not free to people that have a lifestyle that they don't believe in. So if we're going to touch people's lives, we have to many times change our perspective. And in this teaching, I'm going to show you even Jesus changed his perspective.
All right.
And so we said, well, Jesus never changed. He changed his perspective from when he first came and started his ministry. And when he ended up, his ministry was with a different perspective. Now I'll show you through the word. But if you're going to be free, and the scripture said if you to have a friend, you must show yourself friendly. So I'm going to deal with showing yourself. And showing yourself will indicate that we, even as old as we're getting, because I'm planning on living to 150. Last time I talked out, I was at 120, but I've changed it because I found out some different things. And I'm adding more. So and if I don't make 150, I'm going to be highly disappointed.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm believing God for that because it can happen. Now, I know many of us, you know, to start saying, so where the Lord said, Paul talks about 70 years and then by reason of health and strength in 80. But Paul was dealing from a sinful perspective, not that he was a sinner, but he was talking about sin in our lives and the degradation that happens as a result of our not only spiritual sins, which affects our natural. But when man came out of the ark, God made a promise that he would let man live 120 years. And so that is, but then once we have understanding and revelation, and once we change some of the things in our lives, we can live, medical science is saying you can live as long as you really desire to. So to change your perspective. So many of us are thinking now that if I can just make 70, 80, and I'm going to die and I'm going to heaven. And they have us believing, some of them had us believing that God was soon to come. And he's soon to come. He is soon to come. But he don't want us sitting back, looking out the window and watching the clock or the calendar. He wants us to occupy till he comes.
What he
desires you to do is to be ready when he comes. And the only way you're going to be ready is to change you. To have a true free life, you must eliminate all of your hang-ups. Let's go right to one scripture we're going to use today. We refer to others, but one that's pivotal. Proverbs 18:24. In that verse, it said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And then, and now this is Solomon writing, and he said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The reason why I say Solomon is jaded, because Solomon has some views, because when you read about brotherhood, if you follow the scriptures according to Solomon and brothers, you wouldn't trust your brother. You wouldn't have a good relationship with your natural brother. That's what I'm talking about. Solomon says a brother is born with adversity. Now, sometimes we've had some arguments with our brothers, but my brothers and I are not at adversity.
Uh-huh.
Solomon says if you ever run into trouble, don't go to a brother's house, but go to a friend's house.
All right.
In our lifetime, our experience here, and that's his perspective, and it's hard for the saints to believe that people have a personal view about things when it comes down to the Bible, because we know that the Bible is the word of God. But you got to keep everything in context as it's dealing with the scriptures. It's just like when Paul talks about men, he wished that all men, such as saved men and women, would be as he was, single, and not having, you know, families and stuff like that, but just give their lives to the Lord. But see, you got to remember Paul's perspective was he thought that Jesus was coming back soon. Imagine if all of us did what Paul recommended. There would be, of course, we wouldn't have any children. We wouldn't be born, of course, especially if our parents were saved. We wouldn't have children. We wouldn't have the divine relationship that we have with our spouses. We wouldn't have the joyous relationship that we have with our children. Even though sometimes we go through things with, many of us go through things with our children, you wouldn't have those little love bugs as you enjoy them now if you listen to Paul. Does it make Paul wrong? No, but his perspective was a little different for his time. So now the Holy Spirit is saying we have to look at the scriptures in the perspective of timing. Everything that was appropriate for the Jews is not appropriate for us today.
Oh.
And the saints have to get it. We think, and then when we say that, many people, we say, no, I believe the Bible through and through. If you go through the Old Testament and look at all the stuff that they did, if we were doing that now, we would go to jail. We would probably wouldn't have families. We wouldn't have the money to make all the sacrifices that we have. So, you know, you got to think in terms of perspective. So this scripture said, show yourself. And that's what I want to concentrate on, showing yourself. Present the awesome you. You got to present the person that you desire to be. The reason why we're not awesome like we desire to be is because we allow our experiences, our past, our failures, the things that have aided in dictating our perspective and how we view things. If you want to change your life, you got to change. If you want to be truly free, you got to change your perspective. Many of us are so hung up on other people's business that we really can't free to allow our anointing to flow in us. What do I mean? God took care of Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he not?
Uh-huh.
He didn't have Abraham out there trying to tap Sodom. God took care of it. And I use Sodom because that's what everybody equates, especially the homosexual plight, we equate it with Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was one of the things. They were evil, but it was one of the things. But look at what the true test for the true, what really the results of Sodom and Gomorrah was one thing. Of course, God wanted to destroy them because they were evil, but their lives would have been saved if there would have been at least 10 righteous people there.
Oh.
While we're out fussing and arguing instead of showing our righteousness, we're missing the boat. If there would have been 10 righteous, it would have saved the town. So how many of us does it take to save our society or your neighborhood if we would really be righteous? But if we spend the time trying, you know, we're worrying about it. I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, but it's not my argument to go up and stand on Congress and stand out and fight about two men getting married. That's God's business, and it's time for the church to start. If we're going to be a witness, we witness. But for you to take up a personal issue to try to stop certain things, that the Bible said in the last days there will be perilous times. So you think your little witness and your little church going to change the perilous times that God said? No, but he wants you to love. But what we got to do is start working on ourselves. If you're truly going to be free, you got to work on yourself. You got to present that awesome you. In order to be that awesome you, you must be willing to change. And this change don't mean, and when I made those comments about Sodom and Gomorrah and the homosexual community, this is not that we're letting down the standard, but we're expressing love and we're allowing God to make judgment for himself. That doesn't mean we say, okay, come on in, because most times they won't come in your style, your particular church for worship, especially if you're preaching the gospel of love and you're preaching the gospel of against sin. So you don't have to worry about a bunch of people coming your way, but if you get an opportunity to touch somebody's life, tell them the truth, but make sure you do it in love instead of anger, because you don't have a heaven nor a hell to put anyone in. And God is not standing behind you when you're bashing someone. God don't need us to bash in the name of God. He don't need us to love in the name of God. He would do all the bashing. He would do all the judgment. And see, the saints, we've gagged on the mat, swallowed the camel. We've been concentrating on so many other things. And many people they say warrior ministry, we're coming against. Yeah, you can come against the evil spirits, but you can love the people. Because you would not be able to win them until you befriend them. Nobody, even your children, don't want to be around you when you tell them everything they're doing wrong. Your children can't wait till they get 18 or old enough to get out. If all you do every morning, now this is what you did wrong, 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 and you're going to get, I'm going to take this from you, I'll take this from you. As soon as they get to go to school, see, going to school for some of them is a blessing. Going to college to get away from you is a blessing to them. And then we want to say, oh, them devils just want to get away. No, they're trying to get away from the devil. So we have to change in certain things in ourselves, and that change must be growth. Now, your perspective, we talked about your perspective, must change. Your perspective dictates your life. How you view things is based upon your experiences. the way you see things. I'm going to show you what I was talking about when Solomon's perspective was jaded. And here's some points. A rough life gives you a rough view or rough perspective. A person that has it tatted rough, they come up, they see everything is rough, they see everything, they see things. Even when we come into church and come to God, we see how we got to dodge the devil, the darts of the devil, because I did this and I was so much in sin, and now when you come into church, you try to chase sin out of everybody. The Bible said no man comes to God except he draws them. And if he, and you can tell if he's using you to draw somebody is if you're being a kind, loving witness or not people running from, here come the saints. You know how we do sometimes when the Jehovah's Witness knock on your door, sometimes you don't even answer the door or you run from them. People are running from the church that way too, not because we have such truth and we want to say, well, people have such truth. You know, truth is fine if it's presented right. If you present truth in the wrong way, it would not be accepted.
Oh,
you know that from your personal experience with your children. You can tell them the truth, but the way you do it, the fussing and arguing and complaining. And I use children because everything about the body of Christ is about the family. That's why God gave us families, to mirror this. He told me to love my wife as Christ loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
He told our families to be as unto the Lord. He compared the church to the bride of Christ. So family is our breeding ground for our working to represent heaven here on earth. So how you do your children is how you are to do in life. And if you do your children rough, you're going to do life rough. And another point, a free life is a free perspective, an open or open
wow.
view. People that have freedom, they have open views, they have open perspective. And open don't mean what it means on the political scene, that anything goes. We're not talking politics here. We're talking about you as a person that's open to God's movement. God can use you, and he can use anybody. He used Egypt to bring judgment to Israel. That's what the scripture says. He used Pharaoh. He rose Pharaoh up so that he can use him to bring judgment to Israel. But you got to be open and free, so your perspective must be free. A loving life has loving views. A person that has, show me somebody that had love expressed by their parents, love expressed in their home, and we say, well, I got the love of Jesus. That's not our problem. Our problem is how we love based upon how we have received love or the lack of.
Uh-huh.
Jesus is not our issue. And many times the saints don't let Jesus lead or the Holy Spirit lead. They go based upon, like I was talking to some of the saints about one pastor. I say he never learned how to love. Then they went on talking about, well, it's because he was in love when he was a kid. But he received the Holy Ghost. He should have been born again. Whatever you
all
received
right,
when you
were
a kid, whatever abuse you've been through, once I've been born again,
say that.
Then all of that goes away. And if it's not gone away, if you should work it as if it's gone away. And your life shouldn't be, you know, now people say forgive and forget. You don't forget. God didn't give us amnesia because we got saved.
Uh-huh.
But you forgive. And what that means to forgive is to not use that as the basis of your actions or your reactions or how you view things or how you deal with people. That's forgiveness.
Teach it, Bishop.
Forgetting is not, God don't give us spiritual amnesia. And that's why we're fighting against Alzheimer's and all those diseases. That's what makes you forget. But the Holy Spirit gives you memory, but it changes you and doesn't taint your view because of the action. Whatever happened, however gruesome it was, if you have breath after it, there's a chance for you to go and to grow in God.
My God.
So a jaded life gives jaded views. Let's go back to Solomon. Solomon, if you read through the book of Proverbs, he says, he don't say any really nice things about a brother. He talks about a brother being born in adversity. When you get in trouble, go to a friend instead of a brother. Brother this. You hear all this. It's negative about a brother. Why do you think that was? And many of us look at that, and then we there. Sometimes the Bible calls this conflict within you, because you're not experiencing some of those things that they're saying about a brother. Because you love your brother, and your brother get along. You know, my mother had 8 children. 7 of us were a year apart. We just lost one of my brothers last year. But all of us, every now and then one would get on your nerves, but nobody had that expression that I can't count on my brother. Now, some of your siblings can get on your nerves and all of that, and then there's conflict sometime between some change and some change religious views and all of that. Just like there was a big fight between my brothers and I. Two of my brothers converted to Islam. And as we were coming up and growing up, there was a big fight because I was Christian. They were trying to convert me, even though they were baptized in Jesus' name, just like I was the same day. But they got into something different. Now, it was a conflict at first, and it was a spiritual warfare. But as I matured and grew, I found out this is not a fight that I should be fighting with them. We don't have to fight. Let's just agree that we're not trying to convert one another, and let's love because God put us in a family. Let's love one another. Now we don't even deal with those issues anymore because we're mature and we're grown.
All right.
So I see my brother. I love him. I hug him. I talk to them. I call them and let them know I love them. And we lost our first brother last year, and that was an experience that we had never experienced. It brought us together. Now, if I would have kept my views that I had before, you Muslim boys better get away from here, and so on, so on, so on. So that is not how God intended for me to be. So I had to change my perspective.
Okay.
So let's go back to Solomon. Solomon was jaded. Let's go back to why he was jaded. You know his conditions that he was born. His father got his mother and had an affair. Then he killed his mother's husband. David killed had Uriah killed. And then there was judgment in his house. But let's go with David. So your perspective comes from your experiences. Your experiences start with your family. David didn't have a good relationship with his brothers either. Remember when David, now look at it this way. Let me paint this picture. When David was he was a young boy in the field keeping his father's sheep. His brothers were military men. Remember when Goliath came along? Before then, when the prophet when Samuel was looking for a king, he went to David's house and he looked at his brothers. His brothers were older. The one was statuous, one was muscular, one was beautiful, and all of this. And God told him, no, that's not the one. But then he asked, do you have another brother? And he was a young boy keeping his father's sheep. And he said, that's the one, the man after God's own heart. Now, when Goliath came, David's brothers, everybody was scared. David came along and he said, look, I keep my father's sheep. I do this. I come in the name of the Lord. I fight this giant. Saul said, okay, go ahead, because everybody else is scared. Go ahead and do it. David's brother said, why don't you go somewhere and sit down? You always want to show off. They didn't have a good relationship with him. So here it is. David's brothers, it's almost like a man, like you got five brothers. One was in the Army. One was in the Navy. One was in the Air Force. One was in the National Guard and the different ones. And then here the youngest boy come along, no military experience, and he ended up working for President Obama in the White House. Now, all of us got military experience, even though we may be a captain or whatever, but he gets with the commander-in-chief. And guess what happened? His brothers was jealous of him. So David didn't have a good perspective on brotherhood. And then when Solomon now went after David had sinned with Bathsheba, I'm showing you where the jaded this come from. When after David had sinned with Bathsheba, God spoke to him through Nathan and told him, thou art the man. The scripture said that God said that I forgive you, but there's going to be evil in your house. What's the first thing that happened? Solomon's older brother died. The baby died that Bathsheba was pregnant with. And then he had other children. So then all of a sudden Solomon is born. Now look what happened, David's judgment. David, one of Solomon's brothers, raped Solomon's sister. I think his name was Amon, raped Tamar. Absalom had a party a couple of years later, and he killed his half-brother, Amon, which was Solomon's brother, all of them were brothers, because he raped his full sister, Tamar. So now the first baby died, the sister got raped, the brother got killed. Then here Solomon, Absalom rose up to destroy David, slept with David's concubines in the street, and God told him trouble's going to be in your house. And then Absalom was killed. So look, all his family, only thing that's living now is a sister and another brother or two. Then all of a sudden when David was old, the scripture said that his brother decided he was going to usurp authority and take over the kingdom. Adonijah, That was his name, Adonijah. He tried to take the kingdom. And then when they came in and his mother came in to David while he was sick and got naked and said, look, you promised me that my son Solomon was going to be king. So they rushed and made Solomon king. So then when the brother Adonijah, his eldest brother, found out that he was made king, then he went to his mother and said, well, give me Abishag. Abishag was the young lady that they hired to keep David warm because he was so old that she slept with him naked, but it was not no intimacy, but she was just there naked to keep his body warm. That's old when you got to just have a naked body on you and then you don't even realize you're in the world. So when the brother came and said, well, can I have Abishag since he got the kingdom? So when Bathsheba came to Solomon, she said, why don't you give your brother Abishag? He said, wait. What else is he going to desire? He's going to want the kingdom then. Then Solomon called Abishag in and had the man kill him. So now, Solomon, all his brothers, and everybody, other than his elder sister, she's raped and the rest of them are dead. So do you see why his opinion was jaded? So when he talks about a brother, and he talks about a friend that's sticking closer than a brother, because they go back to his father, because, you know, his father had a friend named Jonathan. And the Bible said, the scripture said that he loved them. They loved each other as their own soul, and they had a love that was greater than that of a woman. Many controversial people had things in there, and they're talking about that of the woman. Well, what the scripture was talking about, it was not a sexual intimacy. But some of the people in different communities say, yeah, that of love for more than that in the world, that means it was sexual. No, because that relationship between the man and woman, that love, well, the greatest one is that sexual tension or that sexual connection, that oneness. So this relationship was greater than that. So that means there was a love between a man and two men that loved each other as their own soul, and it was not an intimacy when it comes down to sexuality.
All right.
So when it talks about that love, having a friend, but notice their views on brotherhood. When I'm talking about perspective, do you see why Solomon had to say what he had to say about brotherhood? Because his life was filled with jaded and adventure and killing and murder and espionage. How can you have a good view when your life is filled that way? That's why he was jaded. That's why we, not to dispute Solomon in a sense, but you got to look at his perspective while he was talking. A change of perspective doesn't always mean that you are evil, but it just means that you're enlightened. So if you're going to be free, you're going to allow the Holy Ghost to take you from where you were to where you need to be. Because where you were will not take you to where you're going. And people were talking about, let's go back to the old landmark. They don't even know what the old landmark is. Some of that old foolishness that we were believing. I know I come up in I call it an Orthodox Apostolic Church. It was a sin for women to wear pants. It was a sin for women to do this, wear makeup. It was a sin, all of that. And it was not a sin, but it was what man views. If we went back to that, some of y'all would be in real trouble. You know, it was sin, and you couldn't wear a wig, and especially when Paul talked about platinum hair, he wasn't talking about the braids, because remember this, when Paul was talking, he was talking to a particular people at a set time. When Paul was saying women keep silent, so we wouldn't be on the radio today, Blog Talk, Pastor, if we followed Paul. You know, many brethren wanted to keep women silent. But that's not what God was intended, because that perspective had to change, because Jesus even, and Paul even told them to look at Aquila and Priscilla. Or Priscilla and Aquila, and one writer said they put the woman's name first because she headed the ministry. So then people had to change their perspective in order to move as God moved in their lives. And we must be open to the Holy Spirit. We are not called to kill and destroy the sinner. We're called to love and witness and be an example to the sinner. Now, many of our greats, talking about changing perspective, many of our greats have, and even our Lord had to change their perspective. And I know you're saying, how did Jesus have to change his perspective? That's blasphemy. No, it's not blasphemy. Because remember this, we're reading the story of Jesus after it happened. Jesus was a man. He was God's son, but he didn't start his ministry till he was 30. So what do you think he was doing up until 30? He wasn't out there healing babies and cats out of a tree and all that kind of stuff. He wasn't doing it. Jesus was doing what men do. And he was a carpenter's son, but his father was in the priesthood. So the father had carpenter skills, but he was a priest. So Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down on him. And when he said, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased," then his ministry started. So let's talk about Peter now. We're in with Jesus. Peter's perspective was just for the Jews, same as Jesus. Until one day when God wanted Peter to witness to a Gentile, Cornelius, he told him, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." And Peter got up and he saw kind of things that Jews don't eat. It was something that was against the Jewish dietary. Sometimes we jokingly say they had their pork chops and bacon and sit around there. And the Lord said, "Get up and eat, Peter." He said, "Lord, I'll never eat." He said, "What I call clean, don't you call unclean." Now, that part was a dream. But the Lord was trying to show him that I am letting others in that you didn't think were worthy. And then the Bible said he sent him to Cornelius' house. He sent Cornelius' folks for him. He went to Cornelius' house, and he spoke to him and preached him, and they received the Holy Spirit while he was talking. Then they were baptized. Peter's perspective had to change. Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was in Orthodox in the Jewish religion. It was a tribe of Benjamin. But according to the Jewish religions, they were still looking for a savior. And they're still looking for one now. That's why you don't hear too many Jews. You got Jews for Jesus, but you don't hear too many Jews talk about Jesus being their Lord or savior. Because God has blinded their eyes concerning him. Because really, tribulation period was for them so they can see he was the master and savior. But Paul was on the road, and then the light came and knocked him down off his beast. And the scripture says that Paul, he told him, "What are you doing? I am Jesus whom thou persecuted." And he sent him, and then Paul became one of our greatest disciples. Now let's get to Jesus. When Jesus first started his ministry, what did he say? "I come to the lost sheep of Israel." He even told the disciples, "Don't go to nobody's house but those of the Jews. And if they don't receive you, kick the dust off your feet. But don't go anywhere to the Gentiles." But then while he was doing his ministry, there was a young woman coming there crying about her daughter. And Jesus said to her, "Look, it's not meet to give the children bread to the dogs." He called the woman a dog. And she said, "Yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." And the scripture says that Jesus marveled at her faith. That started him to transition from "I come to the Jews" to when he was resurrected. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, Jew, Gentile, whatever, shall be damned." Another thing that changed your perspective, after Jesus was crucified, and after he took all that whipping, he had to know that it was for more than just the Jews, because he came into his own, and his own received him not. And guess what happened? His perspective changed. Then it adds, "As many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God." Why? Because he came into his own, and his own received him not. So you see, there you have to see how your perspective must change in order for you to deal with this modern-day believer or sinner. And see, it does not mean that we let down the standards. We still want to walk around and look all pious and all of that, but you really have to really get into showing yourself. Like we started with showing yourself. The scripture said, if you want to have a friend, show yourself friendly. Now it's time for us to show ourselves friendly. Our theme for the day is showing ourselves friendly. So one of my goals is I'm going to meet someone new every day. And I'm going to smile at someone every time I see them. I'm going to connect. And I'm not just going to meet the brothers that go to the church. I'm going to meet a new saint on the street. We love to say, "Ooh, I saw the Spirit of God in you." And so there ain't no sense in you witness. You're just having a talk fest. You're not witnessing when you're talking to a believer. He sent you out to be a witness, so you're talking to an unbeliever, someone that doesn't know God or walked away from God, and God will set you up to see them and to talk to them to return back. But you cannot be biased. You cannot be racist. Let me tell you this. There would not be one racist going to heaven, not one. I don't care how devoted and committed you are and how many sermons you preach, how many feet you wash, how many communion cups you drink from. I don't care how much money you've given to the poor. If you are racist, you are hell-bound. Your perspective has to change. Because how is a God that put his life in every man and put his life in every woman gave you something to hate that man because of the color of his skin or because of what's on the top of his head or because of what they believe or how they look or whether they got tattoos or whatever? How is it that God, who breathed into man the breath of life, gave you the power to hate that man? And when he said, let us make man in our image, and in the image of God made he, male and female made he them. What about God's image gives you, a believer, the license to hate it, to destroy it, to treat it with disdain, or to disrespect it? If you don't respect nothing else, that's why we got to change. You respect the God in them. And you said, hey, got no God. Yes, they do. If they, he breathed into to every man his breath, and he became a living soul. That don't mean you have to go where they go and do what they do and accept what they do. But if you would be kind and you would reach out, but the reason why we don't reach out, because our perspective has changed, because we've had some issues growing up. We had some issues. We had a bad life. We had some trouble with us. We've been through some abuse. We've been through all of this. Now we're treating everything from that jaded perspective. And if you're going to be free indeed, you're going to have to change your perspective and love like God say love. So, brothers and sisters, my time is cut short. It's cutting back. But listen here. Look at yourself. Change you. You're trying to change the world and do all that to change you. Because, see, when we out doing this, we still at home battling with issues. The Bible said healing is the children's bread. And we're the children of God. And we can't even get enough faith to get healed. What about the healing in the church? Because we got all those other issues working in our subconscious mind, and we can't get free from them.
Mm-hmm.
According to the scriptures and according to medical science, especially medical science, our cells are created. There's no cell that's in your body that's older than 2 years old. So the only reason why we're reproducing these old, bad cells, and many of us are aging because we keep saying it. I'm getting old. You know how it is when you get old. You keep speaking, being old in your life because you're 53, you're 60, and you're 75. Oh, I'm old. That's why you're growing old, because you keep saying it. Well, you know these old bones. You keep saying them. Guess what those bones going to do? Crank up. Then you're going to have to get a knee replacement. Then you got to get a hip replacement. Then you got to get a new heart. Then you got to get new eyes. You know, all this stuff we're speaking to ourselves, but in the medical science, your cells are no older than 2 years old. That's why the scripture says, my youth shall be renewed like the eagle. Because the eagle can carry off his feathers and do all that stuff, pulling stuff off so he can have new feathers in a new life. The scripture says, the righteous hold on to his way, and he that hath clean hands is getting stronger and stronger. Look at Moses. He was 120 years, and the Bible said his sight was good. His strength hadn't abated. He was still strong. Look at Caleb that climbed the mountain. Give me this mountain. I'm as young as I was at 40, and he was 80. But we keep speaking. Every day you get up, oh, these old bones, this old back. Oh, I'm so old. No, I'm saying I'm young. I'm youthful and dynamic. And I'm speaking to every cell in my body, and I'm telling it to be, don't reproduce that old stuff. Because I know we got some questions, but listen here. If you want to be a friend, show yourself friendly. But the main thing is show yourself. What are you? And you keep praying for God to bless you. Why would God bless mess? Why would God bless mess? And you have a different perspective. You got opinions about everything. You don't like people. You don't know what she did to me 20 years ago. And then we get excited when people, we get angry when people come up in us and they speak to us like they ain't never did nothing to us. I'm going to tell you, most people forget about what they've done to you 20 years ago. You're the only one holding on to it. That's why people walk up to you and act like ain't, and you know, we say she act like ain't nothing ever happened. It ain't nothing ever happened with her. She ain't remembering that. She's about to thinking about you every day. That's
Lord,
you. You're the one who's hurt. So now when we change our perspective, and then we change, if we truly going to be free, we got to do it. It's an inside job. We got to work on ourselves. So you see Jesus changed, Paul changed, Solomon was jaded, David was jaded. Your experiences, your life and your experience will cause you to be jaded. And so that's why some people, God will never let you be used to win, because he know you're jaded. Because and unless you really allow the Holy Spirit to take control and to change you and not let this world influence you to be a certain and be open to the Spirit, because the Spirit will tell you, I don't need you to fight for me. God don't need us to fight for him. These what we call crusades and holy wars were not. We talk about, I was talking to some people because, you know, this is Black History Month. I was talking to some people, and they were talking about, we're looking at the Muslims, how they're doing, these crazy radical Muslims. How many radical Christians, what were the crusades? And the president said, and they got mad at them. What about the crusades? What about Jim Crow? These people were going to church singing Nearer My God to Thee and killing people. You're looking at them across the street, but you were doing the same thing here. We got trouble here. African-Americans and the Native Americans got trouble here in America from, and the people that was doing it were the Christians. There was a lot of, and I'll step away. There was a lot of ministries, especially some of our European white preachers that I used to listen to all the time. But you know what happened? When President Obama started running for president, now they start giving out warnings. Now, while we had Bush, Clinton, Reagan, Carter, the first Bush and all that, nobody warned anybody in the church. The message from the church was, he's our president, let's pray for him. Whether he was Democratic or Republican, let's pray for him. Oh, let's hold him up. That God made it. Nobody was going. As soon as Obama come, they start calling the Antichrist. They start talking about telling, warning they followers. They didn't have to tell the whites to do it, but they were talking to the blacks. Don't vote for him because he's black. Why we vote for y'all? So you know what? I said, Lord, look at this. Look at this. I said, let the people show who they really are. So I used to support them and do all that. I stopped. I ain't sending another dime. And not that I was so pro, even though I love my president, and I supported every president that was a president. But I wasn't sending another dime, because now the message has to change. What did that tell me? That your heart wasn't as pure as you try to make it. You preaching and talking about the Holy Ghost and faith, but soon as something comes down, when it comes down to somebody of an African American or somebody of a different descent, you want to now get all deep. That because deep in your heart you were racist. And I'm asking God to change my heart. Don't let me be Jacob.
My God.
Don't let me be in a person, in a place, even though certain things have happened to my people. Don't let me be jaded that when I see somebody. That's why when I talk about meeting someone new every day, I won't meet some young friends. You know, we get to the point where you think young people ain't got nothing. I'm getting young friends. I'm getting old, white, black, whatever color, Indian, Arab. I'm befriending everybody. Because here's the thing. If I'm going to influence them, I'm going to influence them. I'm not going home with nobody, so I don't care if they're gay or straight. I ain't going to bed with you. So it doesn't matter. But if I'm a friend, they can see my life, and they can see the glory of my life, and then I can influence them.
All right.
We ain't going to no party. We ain't going on no vacation nowhere together. But you just be friends. Just be kind to someone. Just touch somebody's life. Say something. Look for something nice in somebody. Stop talking about what color dress she got on and if it's too tight or whatever. You know, find something, because God is in them, even though they may not acknowledge the God that's in them, because you didn't all the time. God breathed into him the breath of life. And so, and for those of us that have God on the inside, God should be moving, and God doesn't hate his people, because anybody that God hates, he can destroy them. Or he have a set place and a set time for them. For all those that hate God and God hate them, there's a place, and it's kind of hot, and it's not Florida or Cuba. He got a place for them that they'll reside eternally. But change your perspective. Meet somebody new every day. And if you want to be free, start free yourself first, and then be free to receive from God. God bless you.
Yeah. My. Woo, Jesus. Showing yourself. That was great. That was great. Transparent. You know, sometimes we want to convert others, and they can't even see the God in us. How are we going to be a light when you're not even being friendly? You know, I tell y'all a funny story. Today is our birthday, Minister Billy Burns. Bishop Patterson, today is Billy's birthday, so I say, happy birthday. I tell you, I was in the same church. Now, she and I are good friends. I've been knowing her for about 15 years now. It's funny, about 15 years now. And we met in Atlanta. Just to show you what Bishop Patterson was speaking to our hearts about today. And we're in the same church. We were at Bishop Ray Trout there in Riverdale, Georgia. And I was, after my daughter died and I had those children, then I started working for ADT Security, home security consultant. And I recruited Billy, but when I first met her, when I seen her in church, she would always look so solemn. And so one day she got up, it was a night service, and she got up and she testified, they had moved to the city and how they were living in this certain area. And all I saw was that was a customer, you know. I forgot how stern she was looking at, that facial expression. She looked so serious. And when I heard her say they had just moved there and was in a new home, all I saw was a contract. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's 'cause I didn't have to worry about going there to witness to her. She was already in the same church I was in.
That's right.
So all I'm looking at, thinking, that's a client. That's a potential customer. And so after church, Bishop Patterson, I got up some nerves. I said, well, she looking a little serious. She ain't got a pleasant smile or anything. She get mad with me when I tell the story, but it's the truth. That's how I felt. That was my perspective on, how her very facial emotions and expressions caused me to draw back. But I said, Lord, this woman got a new home. I'm going right this way. I'll give her a security system. And so I went and I met Billy and everything, and she was just the sweetest thing. And I recruited her, and she started working for ADT. And we have maintained a beautiful relationship almost 15 years ago. So, sometimes you're going through some things, and have just been thinking about something at that moment, and you just looking so serious. And, people are afraid to approach you. And even if sometimes you meet people out in the street, Bishop Patterson, and sometimes they look so mean, you like, well, I ain't gonna bother to them. Honey, but I look at everybody as a potential soul. Go ahead.
You know what? That's what happened. And Billy has been, and I've known her a little longer, at least over 30 years. She's a sweet and kind person, her and her husband. We just had a good relation. We were coming up as young people together in church. I remember when he came from St. Louis. And she was there in Chicago. So we were all there in Chicago, and then they had the children, and all the children grown now. I saw where one was getting married, and she's their grandmother, and he's a grandfather. I teased him last time I saw him. Yeah, you look like a granddaddy with all that gray hair. But we laughed about it. That's a true statement when it comes down to how we live, and that's it. People see your facial expression. That's why I practice now when I'm not just talking to someone. If I'm sitting at a peaceful time, I practice on making sure my face is that of one that's comfortable, or people will be intrigued to come and talk to you. Sometimes we run people away by the look. And we don't have to. We're not intentionally running people away, but most people don't.
Exactly.
They don't. Number one, they don't want to meet new friends. Number two,
mm-hmm.
they our society has made us so jaded that we are scared of anybody new.
That's
so
right.
So if we're in a public place, we're like, don't talk to me, don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's somehow, and the saints shouldn't be there, but suddenly the saints warm up when they find out somebody got the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. But before then, devil, don't you come say nothing to me. They got their look. And that was one of
That's
the things.
That's so
about,
true.
When I was coming up in church, the saints were so mean, especially the older they got. The mothers in the church were mean
yes.
as a junkyard dog. And then they had the kids scared of them because they feel, in some of the pastors, they feel that was this holy man. But if you got the peace of Jesus and you're free, there's no reason for you to hold the countenance because God may want to send somebody to, not only that you may witness to, but somebody, he
mm-hmm.
may send somebody to be a blessing to you, and you miss
That's
it because
right.
you look at me.
Mm,
So you know, it's like I go to the health club. We go to health club. My family, we go to the health club often. At least 5 days a week, we're in the health club. And I make it my
wow.
business.
Wow. I need to come to by y'all.
Listen, I make it my business to meet somebody, young, old, and see what most people do. They don't want to be bothered with people. So people go to the health club.
That's it.
And they put earphones in their ear. And so they're like, don't mess with me. And that's
exactly.
when people say, no, that's not it. If you, because I always believe from a security point of view, I'm not going to be distracted. If I'm out walking or jogging, I ain't going to have nothing in my ear. I want to hear somebody
mm-hmm.
coming behind me. If I'm in the,
right.
in, because my theme now, because I want to meet and make at least 100 new friends this year, at least.
My God.
So I'm out trying to meet
mm-hmm.
people, young, old, black,
right.
white, single. And see, there's a way
mm-hmm.
you can come up. Of course, because see, there's a lot of single women in our gym, and then when I go in the
right.
person and I talk to them, and they don't feel, and I'm thankful, they don't feel the sense that I'm trying to hit on them. And when I
mm-hmm.
see that somebody feels,
well,
because
you have your wife
myself,
there with you, right?
That's right, that's right. But sometimes she's not around. So when I see
okay.
the one that feels that I'm trying to hit on them, I say, yeah, my family comes, and then my wife comes right here. Yeah, this is my wife. I just met so and so, so and so. This is my son and my
all
daughter.
Right.
So then that shuts
okay.
all that down.
Right,
but see, sometimes
right,
even the
right.
saints, especially men, women, especially women, sisters won't go meet a brother because they think some brother think they're trying to hit on them and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if you got the love of God in your heart and you don't have lust in your heart, and one, I have to
mm-hmm.
say that all the other people I've met, no one expressed that they felt that I was coming on to them or lustful because it was
mm-hmm.
not in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them, but see, people are not used to that. They're not used to somebody
That's
else meeting.
Right.
And I'll tell them my
That's
story.
Right.
I said, listen, I see you all, especially someone on the regular, I see you all the time. And you're doing an excellent job with your workout. And my goal to this year, my church's goal, and my goal this year is to meet someone new every day. So I want to introduce
All right,
you.
I like
so
that.
So I tell them my story instead of coming up, hey, what's up, girl? Girl, you rocking. Yeah. You know, no, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. My goal is to meet someone every day, and I'm no telling what kind of friendship can be built out of this. We're trying to build friends and people. Oh, ain't nobody met one white lady told me, ain't nobody, no one has ever met me that way.
All right.
Well,
see that?
You never met me. And then
so
later on, so she was taken by it. That's what she was taken by. And then when my wife came around, I went over there and said, hey, I would like to introduce you to my wife, Cheryl. And she looked at her and said, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. Then when my wife walked away, she said, now that was interesting. I said, what do you mean? She said, every man that's met me was trying to either go out for drinks or whatever. You just met me and just introduced me to your wife.
To your wife. Wow.
So that means your intentions were pure, and I appreciate that.
Were pure. Isn't that beautiful? Wow.
And that's how it's got to be. So if I'm going to meet someone new every day, and then I'm gonna have some friends, not just meeting people. I'm gonna connect with some friends. We're gonna go out to dinner, you know, invite
mm-hmm.
them to the house, you know, stuff like that to try to build relationships because you never know who you can win.
That's right.
And who can win the Christ or who will be a friend? Because the studies have proved that we're only 6 to 7 people away from meeting all of our needs. Because if that person
mm-hmm.
can't help you, they know somebody who can help you. So it's just
that's
like if somebody
it,
looking for a house and they meet somebody, oh, so-and-so, I know so-and-so, and they can be, you know, and that has happened
there
many times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
mm-hmm.
this year is meet someone new every day and show yourself.
I like that. I like that. That is so beautiful. As you were talking, I thought about this little post that somebody posted on the social media, and this was a young man from New Orleans, and you know we call everybody baby. So he posted this little post on there and said, you know, he was saying, "What's up, baby?" and said something like that to a young lady. And the young lady got offended, like he was flirting with her. He said, "Well, let me tell you something, sweetheart." He said, "I'm from New Orleans, and where I'm from, we call everybody baby."
Yeah.
He said, "We call everybody baby, so I just want to put it out there. I'm not flirting with you. That's just how we respond to one another in our city." Mm-hmm. You know, so it's interesting. And that is so beautiful, what you have purposed in your heart to do, meet 100 friends this year and just to be friends. Amen. You know, I never heard you say that you invited them to church.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, see,
you just befriended them.
I started first. That's right.
Because
you can't win them if you don't befriend them.
All right.
You see,
all right.
Most people, if you befriend somebody, they'll go anywhere with you.
That's right.
They'll go anywhere with you. And if you really befriend them, they'll try to find out who you are. And then when I make my introduction, then I tell them, "Look, I'm Pastor Patterson or Dr. Patterson, whatever." And they go on because my son and I have the same name. So I say, "I'm Pastor Patterson. He's Corinthus." You know, and we have the same name, so we go about it that way. But then people start, "Oh, I'm coming to the church." They'll call
right.
you. I need you
Look
to pray for
that.
Me. You know, this is ways you can witness. Pray for me. And then when I see the one lady, she was in the health club, she said, I saw she was looking a little distraught. And I talked to her. I said, and she, tears was coming out of her eyes while she was working out. So I noticed it. And then when she took a break from her routine, I said, "Is everything okay?" She looked at me
beautiful.
And I said, "I noticed you had tears coming down your eyes. Is everything on you okay? Can I help you with something? Or is there anything you need?" She said, "No, I've just got some bad news." I said, "Well, let me pray." So she looked around, you know, because I said, "Trust me, I'm not going to do no hollering and lay you out and throw you on the floor or nothing like that." Boy, did that turn her into laugh. So I just grabbed the hand and I said, "Father, help her." And we kept our eyes open. I said, "You don't even have to, like, we can look like we just stand there. Father, help her. Whatever the situation is, bring comfort to her heart. Strengthen her right now.
My
give her
God.
Insight." She said, "Oh, thank you. I feel so much better." I'm like, "God, we're going to finish working out." You know, so now you're being sensitive. So now people see me in the health club. They've been looking for me. And now everybody, when I come in there, you think I'm a celebrity. "How you doing? How are you?"
You have, that's your personality anyway, Bishop Patterson. You just have that personality where people are just naturally drawn to you. Everybody don't have a personality like that.
Sometimes people are afraid to even witness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Wow.
Now, that's the last story. There's an old black couple that was coming in the health club. And they have to be in there. Well, I'll say older. They have to be in their 70s. In their 70s, whatever. And so I see them working out all the time. You know, nobody say anything. It was the husband and the wife. So I went to the husband. I said, what are you trying to do? Turn back the handle of the clock? And he laughed. "No, I'm just trying to get this right." I said, "Well, it's good to see you. And you and your wife are motivating me." And she was like, "What are you motivating you? You're a young man." I said, "Listen, I'm trying to get to your age, and I want to be moving around and in the health club when I get there." Oh, that made them feel so good that somebody would come up to them and talk to them. And then a few weeks later, I saw them in the street because they hadn't been there. So they were at a restaurant. They were sitting down. And so my family was in there. So I walked over to their table. I said, "What are you all doing?" And they looked up. I said, "You all can't stop coming to the health club. I need my inspiration." Oh, they jumped up and hugged me. "No, we just had to go in the hospital." I said, "Listen, I love seeing you all, and I appreciate you all being there. So please, if you got some issues, take care of yourselves. If you got some physical issues, take care of yourselves. But make sure you get back in there, because I need my inspiration."
Wow.
Next time they saw me, they walked in the club and they looked around. And first thing they did was come over there to the club. This is a large club. First thing they did, come over to the club and hug me.
Isn't that wonderful?
You know, and just touching people's lives, because, see, that's how you win people to Christ. Or, and here's the thing, I had to change my perspective. Winning people for Christ doesn't always mean them coming to your church.
All right.
It can
All
mean
right.
just touching somebody's heart at the time that they need a touch. That's showing the Christ factor.
My.
It doesn't always mean getting them in your church. And some people may be saved and they may not be saved, but they were just inspired by you.
They were touched
by you, and you just comforted their heart, and you just made them smile. Ain't nothing like getting somebody to smile. It's enough fear out here in this world. There's enough that we go through physical changes, and many people go through different things, and health scares and health issues. We got personal things with our families, our daughters, our children, our sisters. We got all kind of stuff. So if somebody can muscle up something to give me a smile, that's Christ.
That's beautiful. Well, we have certainly enjoyed this word today, showing yourself, amen, getting free of all of these hang-ups that we have where we can be effective witnesses for the Lord. Amen. That is so beautiful, Bishop Corinthians, and we just thank God for you. We got about 16, 17 callers on the line, so if you have time to just pray those of you that have any special prayer requests, you can hit the number one key on your phone. If not, we're just going to open up the lines and get some remarks from you all. We certainly thank God for the man of God coming on and sharing this awesome word with us today. Amen, amen. So those of you that have any special prayer requests, any special needs, we're going to ask you to just hit the number one key, and we're going to come right to you, and Bishop will certainly pray for you. Amen. We're going to start at the top. We're going to go to, Sister Sonia Didas just tuned in. Did you have any special prayer requests? God bless you. Sister Sonia?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. I apologize. It dawned on me that I had not been on the line. May the angels of God and God, my Father in heaven, forgive me. But believe it or not, I just joined you. And just to hear your voice, Bishop Corinthians, is that pronouncing it right?
That's right.
There's something about your spirit that I must say that just touched me when I got onto the line and you were speaking. I do have one small special prayer request.
Okay.
I want you to pray for my pastor first, Adrian Benoit, who has walked into my life. He walked into my life.
Catch me at the end.
And she has touched my life and has helped turn me around.
Wow.
I was not a praying woman, and I find that praying with her has changed my life. I'm at a better peace than I've ever been. So I ask you that we for her with our anointing, and that you pray for me for God to bless me, to be able to maintain, keep my home, take care of my life, and whatever blessings he have for me, to please not let Satan's elms walk in and destroy it or keep it away. As for I, grown woman of God, I am going to follow my pastor's lead. I don't believe that many people know yet just how anointed that spiritual mother, Pastor Adrian Benoit, is. But, sir, I'm going to tell you, I'm walking with a divine light here in New Orleans. And this I mean.
Thank you, Lord.
And this I say.
Thank you, Lord.
I see this Spirit of God watching me. This is not to say words of favor. This is to say words of truth, because she has helped. So that's my prayer, and I just ask God to continue to watch over you and bless you too, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. And let me pray now. Father, we thank you for Sister Sonia.
Thank you, Lord.
You for letting her come into our dear sister's life, that she may touch and affect her. I bless her. We thank you for the spirit of loyalty to overtake her. We thank you for the commitment to the ministry and to the leader. We thank you for blessing in all her affairs. Take care of them for her and give her wisdom on how to do and what to do concerning her personal affairs. concerning our house and everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Sonia. We're going to go to Sister Donna Shaw and then Minister Lovett. God bless. Sister Donna.
Hi, God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you.
I enjoyed the word of God, and I just kind of needed to be into a place because we just lost, my family just lost my niece. She was 30 years old. She was battling lupus, and I tell you, this is just the hardest thing. This is the second child that preceded my brother and his wife. And I'm just asking, Lord, for strength, to strengthen them as they go through the funeral, the healing process, and to strengthen our family as well.
Amen. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for Sister Donna.
Hallelujah.
We thank you. We want
thank
you to lift
God.
The hearts of her family.
Yes, God.
Concerning the child that was lost to lupus. Send encouragement and strength.
God.
And let them realize that it gets better as time goes on.
Yes, God.
And matter of fact, getting better, you deal with it better. So, Father, encourage them and don't let this devastate them. And strengthen them and let them know that they still have something to live for. In Jesus' name.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
We encourage Sister Donna. We're going to keep you in our prayers. Hallelujah. Thank
God
you,
bless
God.
You, woman of God. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We're going to Pastor Gloria Smith. God bless you, woman of God. This is my friend, Bishop Patterson. God has given me some Holy Ghost feel. Women and men of God in this city, and Lord knows I needed them. Hallelujah.
Okay.
So, Pastor Gloria, God bless you.
God bless you too, Pastor, and God bless the man of God that brought forth that awesome word. I'm encouraged, and I do desire your prayers, sir. I have some things that are pressing that I would like for you to come in agreement with me for, and also to cover my ministry.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father. We thank you for Pastor Gloria Smith. You called these women, Lord God, and you're using them. You're touching them. You empowered them. I thank you for the strength, and you know the personal things that she needs and the things that I'm going to stand with her and touch and agree with her. And, Lord, I want you to move in a mighty way, provide for her in every aspect and everything, financially, physical, with the ministry. Let the ministry flow and let the things of God flow through her. Use her and Lord, strengthen her body. Strengthen her, continue to give her that long life that you promised. And the long life, Lord God, with abundance. Lord, strengthen her right now. Touch her and send a blessing this week that she may know that it's from you and that she may get the encouragement she needs. In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name, do it today. In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
What a blessing.
God bless you. Thank you, man.
Hey, glory. Thank you.
Now, Pastor Bernard, when I come to see you, And we'll do it a couple of times and make sure I get a chance to see Pastor Smith so we can just come by and
Pastor
she can be a
Gloria,
blessing.
Pastor Gloria, she resides partially, she resides in North Carolina. How far are you apart from Durham, Pastor Gloria?
I'm in Charlotte, so Durham is about 2 hours, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor Bishop is in Durham. And, wow, y'all going to have to hook up down there.
So she's in Charlotte?
She's in Charlotte, yes.
She's going to invite me over so I can come and strip
All right. She will certainly do that.
Yeah.
All right. I'll get you Pastor Gloria's number and stuff after the broadcast, Bishop.
Sounds good.
Yes, y'all are not that far apart at all. North Carolina. Amen, amen. God is doing something.
It's 2 hours away. 2 hours away, but if you get on the wings of a dove, it'll be an hour and a half. So, you know.
All right. Amen, amen. We got a few more on the line. We coming to you all, Minister Lovett. God bless you, all the way from Antioch, California. All right, God bless you, man of God.
Bless you, bless you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, bless you, bless you. I thank God for who God is. Amen. Bless you, man of God, for that awesome word. Amen. I'm actually asking prayer. Amen. For a few things for my ministry. Amen. And then for a financial breakthrough. Amen. And I'm believing God for a few things. Amen. That God continues to do what he has to do in my life.
Sounds good. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, you heard the request. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you always hear me. Now, ministry, I ask you to bless his ministry. Cause a breakthrough to come in. Send that money that he needs, Lord. He needs that money. We need that money to do your work. Show us the strategy to do the right thing and that we may get what we need. In the name of Jesus, give us faith. Let us meet someone that will be able to sow into us. You said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your book.
Yeah.
Lord, send the right men and women our way to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you, men of God.
Bless you.
God bless you. All right. We're going to area code 916. Last four of your number is 3439. God bless you, caller. Area code 916, 3439. If not, God bless you. We thank God for you. Amen, amen. We're going to the same area code, 916. The last four of your number is 4267. God bless you, caller. 916. 4267. God bless you. You're on the line. Can't hear you. Okay, you're breaking up. All right. We're going to area code 209. The last four of your number is 7846. God bless you, caller. Your line is open. If you have any specific prayer requests, you're welcome to make it known at this time.
God bless you. Now, I enjoyed the word today, and I thank the Lord. And I also desire the same in my heart to go out and meet people and reach the people with the love of God that God has put in me. And I would like prayer in that area.
Okay. Yes. Who are we speaking with?
Now, what was your name?
Sister Linda Jordan. And I'm calling in from Sacramento, California.
All right, Sister Linda Jordan. And we're going to touch and agree that God would bless you. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask of you to touch
Sister Linda Jordan.
Given a personal voice to go out and reach someone in need. Don't let her fear their faces. Don't let her fear what they're doing. Don't let her make any kind of judgment on them to see them as a potential soul to be one for Christ and a potential friend. Give her the personal courage to just go out and meet someone. Let her start right there where she is in the grocery store. Even when she go tonight, just meet someone and talk to them. And don't let her heart be just stuck on those that are familiar with her or those in the same color. Let her go outside of that scheme and go forth, because we all have the life of God, and strengthen her, give her boldness,
yes,
and touch her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, Sister Jordan. God bless you. Amen.
God bless.
Amen. We're going to God bless you. We're going to Evangelist T. God bless you. Your line is open, sweetie. Evangelist T here. All right. God bless you. We're going to area code 347. The last four of your number is 6441. Your line is open. God bless you.
God bless you. How you doing? God bless everyone on the prayer line. I didn't hear the message, but I'm sure it was awesome, but I call in for prayer. Yes. And I would like, yes, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing wonderful.
God bless you, and God bless the pastor that just prayed.
Yes.
I like right. prayer for, I would like to hear God's voice clearer, you know, because mm-hmm. I was hearing him 2 years ago. Now, you know, I'm not hearing him. I don't know if my ears is clogged up, but I like my ears to be unclogged so I can hear him when he's talking. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm trying to tell you because I got to hear him, you know. So I'm praying for that, and I'm also praying for a supernatural breakthrough.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, now
what was your name?
With?
Leona. I'm sorry. My name is Leona.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for hearing us. Let us hear you. Touch Sister Leona's consciousness that she may be receptive because you're speaking, but you're right inside of her.
Mm.
Lord, so you're speaking from the inside because her body
uh-huh.
is consumed. So bless her, Lord God, to recognize your voice and give
yes,
that supernatural increase in supernatural anointing and power that she's looking for. But tune in our ears to hear you. Because you said, he that have an ear to hear, let him
Amen.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So give her an ear to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. God bless. God bless everyone on the prayer line. Thank you for that prayer. I mean, because I need to hear him. I got to hear him inside
Amen.
Like I used to hear him inside my spirit.
Thank
you so much. God bless you.
Hallelujah. All right. God bless you, Sister Linda. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We're just so thankful for Pastor and Bishop and Dr. Patterson being with us today. My heart is just overjoyed today. Amen. And we want to certainly cover him and touch and agree with some things that he is also petitioning God for. So we're going to go to my our friend, Pastor Gloria Smith. We're going to ask Pastor Gloria to pray for Bishop and pray for his wife, his ministry, and his children, and just pray that God's will be done in his life. And certainly for those 100 friends that he have requested of God to make available to him this year, that it will be done. Amen. And it's such a beautiful thing to desire friends. Amen. So we thank God for you. We're going to let Pastor Gloria pray for you, and then we're going to let you have the last and the final remarks and the closing prayer, Bishop Patterson.
Yes.
Pastor Gloria, God bless you. Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We bless you, Lord. Ah, glory, glory, glory.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you. Pastor Gloria, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. You might have had a line unmuted. Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, we're going to pray. Ah, glory, God. We thank you right now for the man of God. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the special anointing that you have placed on his life. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for the love that you have deep within his heart for souls, God. We thank you, Lord God, because he have no respect of persons. Hallelujah. He's not jaded in his perspectives, God. Hallelujah. But he loved the people of God. He loved people as a whole, God. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That dwells on the inside of him. We thank you for him being led of your Spirit, God. We thank you for the boldness that he have in Jesus Christ. God, now we're asking you, Lord God, Messiah, for every petition, God, that he have placed before you in 2015, God. Hallelujah. You know all about it because you know him. You say you know, Messiah. You say you know the thoughts that we have before they even enter into our mind, God. Now, God, hallelujah, as we come before you, touching and agreeing on everything that he has before you this year, God. Hallelujah. We're asking you in the mighty name of Jesus to honor it, God. God, you say, Messiah, you said, if our ways please you, Lord God, you would give us the desires of our hearts. You told us to commit our way unto you.
all of his righteousness. And you said all of the things shall be added unto us. We don't have to wait until we get in the place, God. We can have just what we speak. Everything that's in your word that you have saying about us, God, we're standing on them. God, we're looking for the manifestation of the promises that's already in your word, God. We know you're a God that can't lie. We know you're a God, hallelujah, that would never renege on your word, God. Hallelujah, and that's why we thank you for Bishop. We thank you for his wife, Cheryl, God. Continue to strengthen and keep her, God. Remember his son and remember his daughter, God. God, and all of the saints of God that he has the flock, that he has the shepherdship over, God. We even asking you to bless each and every one of those family members, God. Bless the young people in his ministry, God. Oh, God, give them witty inventions, God. God, give them a mind to pray, God. Give them a mind to be watchful, God. Hallelujah, because we know the devil is busy, God. Oh, God, but you are God that never sleep. You never slumber nor sleep, God. And we thank you for it today, God. We praise you. We magnify you, God. Hallelujah, we thank you for everything that you've done. We thanking you for what you're already doing, God, and we expecting some greater things from you this year. For you said the greater things, greater works shall we do, God. We're looking to do greater works for you this year. We're looking to show ourselves every day, God, friendly to someone, God. We're looking to tell somebody that Jesus stands to the utmost. God, and even in that, God, hallelujah, we're looking, Lord God, hallelujah, to be at peace with ourselves, God. Hallelujah, we pray for our family members today, God. Even for, hallelujah, Bishop Patterson's, hallelujah, his mother, God, that's still in the land of the living, and his other siblings, God, that you would surround them, God, that you would keep them with peace, God, and that you would continue to comfort and strengthen his mother and his siblings, God. We ask these blessings in the mighty, mighty, matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God. God, and we thank you for you allowing him to make a sacrifice today to come in fellowship with the people of God, God. We pray that this word, and we know that it will never go out and return until you void, God. We thank you for the word that was shared with the listeners on today, God. Help them to hide this word in their heart that they may not sin against you. Hallelujah. We ask these blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I'm just so, I'm so thankful, Bishop Patterson, and I want you to pray for my grandson. Hallelujah. He's a senior. This is his last year in school, and glory to God. I didn't want him coming to New Orleans, but he's here. So I'm asking for prayer for him, that God would keep him. Amen, that God would shield him, hallelujah, and he won't get caught up, Messiah, but he would come into the right standing, Messiah, hallelujah, thank God, Messiah, you know the devil try to tell you, now you done brought your baby back, and look what you're exposing him to, hallelujah, but I didn't come back on my own, I came back because God told me to come back, hallelujah, and God is obligated to me, he's obligated even to my grandson, because that's my senior, Messiah, hallelujah, so if he disturbed me, he disturbed my seed, then I'm disturbed, and God didn't bring me here to be disturbed, he brought me here, to break a up some follow ground, huh? Glory to God. He brought me here to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Right.
And I'm not going to let no devil in hell tell me nothing otherwise. Hallelujah. I have him. I have him on the altar. Hallelujah. And I'm pleading the blood over his life every day, Bishop Patterson. Ah, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
17, he'll be 18 next month. And then the enemy said, yeah, he'll be 18 next month. He's no longer under your jurisdiction, so I'm going to have free course. Hallelujah. But as long as I have breath in my body, as long as I'm able to petition God, I'll be doing just that there. He can't have him. He can't have him. He can't have him. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you today, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop. You have strengthened
my
heart on today. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. What
and
a blessing. But God is good.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is good, and he's concerned about your grandson. So
don't
be worrying about it. And just do like Rizfall did with the bodies of Saul's family. She fought the fowls of the air, which was the spirit things, and she fought the beast of the field, which was dealing with their physical body. God promised that your leaf shall not wither. And hold him to that promise. And you don't have to worry
God.
When you hold him to his promise. So
Thank you, just
be strong, and may the Lord bless you and your children. And he wasn't going to stay in California without you. What do you expect? It sounds good for you to leave him there, but he wasn't staying there. He's connected with you, and God wants him there. It's like Lot leaving. It's just like Lot going with Abraham. Lot made some bad choice, but Lot was blessed because he was with Abraham. So just let God's going to pick him. Don't worry about him, because he's going to be all right. And he's probably going to be one that continue in ministry. And the ministry bug may hit him, and no telling, it may hit him, and it may turn everything all around.
My
as far
God.
As family and siblings in the family. So I'm telling you, but God, let me pray right now. And thank you for this opportunity. And I won't be so far away. And I'm coming to see you soon.
You.
So we're going to get together
thank
and we're going to touch and agree. And we're going to do some things together in ministry. So I'm just letting you know. So God is getting ready to give a breakthrough. Because as the kids get older, that's going to free you up. And so you're going to be able to go. We'll be able to go do some traveling and all that kind of stuff. So just get ready. Father, we thank you. And we thank you for your strength.
Thank you,
and we thank you for this woman of God. We thank you for blessing her, and you're concerned with the things of her. And Lord, all the lives that she's touching, Lord God, you said that you got to bless her. You committed to blessing her, and you've placed yourself under her, under doing for her because she's doing for you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you, we magnify you, and we're excited about what you're doing with her. We're excited what you're going to do with us together. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, we magnify. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Love you, my
God
sister. We'll be seeing you soon. Yes.
Thank you, Bishop. Give our love to your wife and your children.
We certainly will. We'll all see you because we'll be coming.
All right.
We'll be coming
all right. I'm going to get you Pastor Gloria's number, too.
Please do.
God bless.
Please do.
Amen.
Right, bless
God bless you all.
Amen.
We love you all. We won't be back until Tuesday. So until then, you're welcome to tune in on Saturday morning with Minister Billy Burns. She airs at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 8 a.m. in the morning. So tune in if you have a testimony, a fiery testimony that you want to share. You can do that on Saturday morning. And also tune in for early Sunday morning prayer on Sunday morning with Prophetess Darlene Davis. She's also in the Carolinas. We love you with the love of God. Remember, those of you that's on social media, remember our pastoral installation celebration coming up next month. Amen. We're looking for those of you that's not able to attend to sow a seed into the ministry and be a blessed. We're doing a work here in the city. Amen. And we're just looking for as many partners as we can to partner with us. Amen. So God bless you all. Have a beautiful week in Jesus' name. Amen. God love you. Hallelujah.
You just tell me how to smile while your heart has been broken and filled with pain, filled with pain. Tell me, what do you hear when you're giving your all? Seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand, one after all, see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand. In that condition, and you just stand, and you, God has a purpose. Yes, God has a plan. Tell me what when you've done all you can, and it seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just